You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Yesterday we saw that everything in life corrupts. Everything in life corrupts. One day, I don't believe it's going to be after my departure. I believe we've got enough people in this church to keep this thing right, but eventually it will corrupt. Dr. Lee Robertson pastored for 40 years. That place corrupted. It's gone. No one's there. 5,000 students studying for the ministry. It's empty. There's no Tennessee. 300 students moved to Piedmont and went to Piedmont College, but it's gone. Tom Malone's school is gone. Tom Malone's church is gone. Akron Baptist Temple, you saw the video, it's gone. The largest church in America, it's just gone. I have a video, I won't show it to you this today, but the 10 largest churches in America, and all but one or two of them are all gone. They're not in existence. Everything corrupts. Everything corrupts. You know, in the Bible, Satan came and corrupted the word of God. Hath God said? He began attacking the Bible because this is our authority. Just like the United States, the Democrats are attacking the Constitution. They're against it. They're against the Electoral College. They want to change that. It's an outdated. No, it's not outdated. It worked in this country. And so we don't want to change the founding principles of any organization. I want to give you some notes today on liberalism to begin. And here's what liberalism is. I want you to write it down today. There's modernism, there's liberalism, there's neo-orthodoxy, there's orthodoxy, there's new evangelicalism, there's contemporary movement. Now, today we live in a day where anything goes, just anything goes. There's no mention of sin. There's no mention of depravity of man. And this is what liberalism is all about. And they stated themselves, number one, it's the rejection of the doctrine of biblical inspiration. They have removed what Satan removed the Bible. Hath God said? Well, yes, he did say it. But liberalism denies the Bible. Secondly, write it down if you will, it is the tolerance of all views. And that's what we've seen happen in our Christianity. It's the tolerance of all views. You believe your way, we'll believe our way. Well, that's what I was witnessing to a guy last week on the plane coming back from Brother Jesse Dominguez, and he was a Hindu. But Hindus just believe, you say, man, I think he's ripe for salvation. No, he's not ripe for salvation. They're taught that you embrace all religions. You go to this church and then you come to my church and whatever they call it. And we just embrace everything. But that's what liberalism is. Thirdly, liberalism is the validation of experience over truth. You have to have a experience. You have to have a feeling. And that's what our contemporary churches are today. It's all about feelings. Number four, and I'm going quickly. It's denial of the deity of Christ. That's liberalism. To deny that Jesus is God. That's what Mormonism is. They believe Jesus is Satan's brother.
That's right. Yep.
They don't believe that he's God.
That's right.
And so... The religions of the day, you get to the root, is Jesus the Son of God? They'll say no. Liberalism today, it's a goodness, the dignity of man and the goodness of man. Everybody's good. No, everybody's a sinner. Number next, it's evolution. Darwinism in 1859 began evolution. Prior to that, we believe that we are created beings. God created us. But the liberalism, I just said Jesse Dominguez's name. We were going to his church on Friday night to have a banquet. We were going to a location. And we passed an old historic clapboard church. I said, I bet they preach the gospel. Next thing we saw were all these rainbow flags in the window. It was a Lutheran church. That's what they believe. You know, there are more churches in your city that believe in the rainbow flag than they believe old time religion. That's why you're so important. I'll give you just two more. It's a social gospel. It's all a social gospel. That's why they're all having all the food pantries and all the food giveaways and all the clothing and all that. But we have more to give than just food. Jesus said, I'll give you bread you won't have to go after this temporal bread. I'm the bread of life. And as we're seeing these things, we see liberalism creeping in. I'll give you some more now in a different area. I mentioned yesterday Harold Ockingay. Harold Ockingay spoke at Fuller Seminary in 1948. Most of you were not born, but some were. And he spoke in Pasadena. And really, it started off as a good school. Just a few years, his son Daniel changed everything. But Ockingay stood up at graduation and said, I am terming, and I want you to write it down, a new term, new evangelicalism. It is just the same thing I just mentioned to you of liberalism. It's the same thing, same concept, but watered down a little bit. For example, here's what he said in 1948 at graduation. Number one, and I want you to write it down. He said that we're going to stop this excessive negativism. Fundamentalist, brother, and that's what he used, Brother Tony, fundamentalists are too negative. And we see that in all these contemporary churches. We just want to get along. Can't we just get along? Well, yeah, if we get along on the Bible, the Word of God. And you know, as you're not liberal, no one here is liberal, but you're making overtures to that in new evangelicalism. I hear it all the time. It just seems like fundamentalism are always fighting one another. I don't know of any fight. I don't know of anybody fighting. Very few people fight anything any longer. Secondly, he said at graduation, I want you to write it down. It's a desire, this is so big in our fundamental, a desire to be accepted by the scholarly world. That's why, Brother Tony, all they talk about is expository preaching. I'll give you some thoughts on that in just a moment. There's a lot more. You ought to have expository preaching. You've heard expository preaching every message this week. But there ought to be a lot more. You heard other types of preaching this week as well. I'll get to that in a moment. But their thing is, let's be scholarly. Let's get all of our institutions approved and accredited. See how quiet it is? Because you all believe in it. I don't believe in accreditation. We went to a college in 1969, and our college, we sang at that. And the students in 69, they were there, and they laughed at us the way we were dressed. And they laughed at our music, and they hissed. They were very, but now that school sits over our school on an accreditation, not our school here, an accreditation that they are approving my college. How can that be? I mean, from the 70s to now, that's a lot of years. 1969 to now, that's a lot of years of come and gone. And we're looking for the state or religious organizations to approve our Major League Baseball, and they're not even in Little League. Be very careful with accreditation. Number three, he said, We want to be trained by liberal institutions. And this was the beginning of liberalism in Fuller Seminary. Number four, we want to accept the general mindset of the day. Fellas, we're not here to test the wind and figure out what everybody believes in. Well, I'm in the Silicon Valley, and they're smart people, and they're intelligent people, and so I need to be a leather lung preacher. I need to preach God's word. And you know, right now, it's Sunday morning. Let's see, this place is packed, and the balcony is packed. A second balcony is not packed, but it's getting packed, getting filled. People are coming, but that's not the indication I'm doing right. Right now it's going right, but it might be that nobody comes. But I still have a responsibility to preach the word. Amen. Number next, an ecumenical spirit. We're two separate. Well, I don't have anything in common with a Lutheran. My mother got saved in a Lutheran church in the late 1930s. An evangelist came to town. He preached 8 days, Sunday through Sunday, the same thought every day: there is a hell. And on the 8th day, she got saved. You could get saved in a Lutheran church 80 years ago. You could get saved in a Methodist church. I don't see how you could get saved in a Methodist church. They're all about transgenderism. It's all a social gospel. Number next, and I'll give you one more. Reaction to fundamentalism: do not believe in social action. That's the same thing as liberalism. And so when you see these things, he talked about, we need to accept science. We need to have an awareness of the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in our midst, and he works through feelings. No, he works by truth. That's how the Holy Spirit works, on truth. John 14, John 15, John 16, he will guide us into all truth. And so, you know, I said, yes, I love my library. I love it. But the older I'm getting like Roloff. He gave away all his books away and just went with the book. At 4 o'clock every morning, he got up and read the book. I have a great library, and I use my library every day. I use my dictionary every day. I can't believe I'm telling you. I learned how to use an iPad this year. I don't know how to use a computer, but I do know how to use an iPad. Now, all these things are because of all these things we're experiencing are coming into our church. How are they coming in? Our music. You see, this worship and praise music that you're singing, you did not get that from your roots. Say, well, Silent Night was written by a Roman Catholic priest. I know that. But you're getting all of your music today from online, from contemporary churches. You're no different than any other church in your town. Because their music that they play there, you're playing the same thing here. Now, you all sing one song out of the hymn book. It's on the screen, but you sing one song, All Hail the Power. Or you're singing, I heard the other day, Blessed Be the Name. But it wasn't Blessed Be the Name. It was the same words, but a different tune. Why do you need a different tune? I don't understand that. That song's worked for 100 years. The song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, it's 101 years of age, 102 years of age. Why do we need different notes to the song? It's worked for 100 years. It's still working. When I survey the wondrous cross, it's 450 years old, on which the Prince of Glory died. Now, you're getting your philosophy from online. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book and we're almost done, book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah 2, verse 4 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye house of Jacob, and the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord." God said this. "What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and become vain?" You cannot prove to me that your contemporaries are going to have you wind up being an old-fashioned preacher. You cannot do that. You got to look at that contemporary and say, it's just a contemporary. Someone said to me last night, they said, "Well, who do you look to?" And I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "Well, who are you looking to give you advice? Is who's the preacher's preacher for you?" Well, Brother Gravely, all of my preacher friends have died. I mean, I never made decisions in life without Bobby Robertson's influence on my life. Lee Robertson's influence on my life. Jack Howell's influence on my life. Tom Malone's influence on my life. Lester Roloff's influence on my life. All those men were ahead of me by 30, 35, 40 years, and they have proven what was old-time religion. You're marrying these guys that are your age, and you're marrying guys that you don't even know who they are. They just have a big church. So they color the front of the church purple. They're all the same. They're all the same, folks. They're all purple or blue. So maybe there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm not going to go to someone who is modern, show me purple lights. So maybe it's very quiet in here now. But you didn't get that from Lester Roloff. You didn't get that from Bobby Robertson. You didn't get that from preachers of yesteryear. You didn't get that from Harold Seitler, Brother Lackey. You didn't get that from those guys. They preached the word. They didn't care about the aesthetics of purple and orange or green or whatever color it was. The Bible says, verse 6, neither have they said, "Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness?" Verse 8, "The priests said not, where is the Lord? They that handled the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied. Wherefore I will plead with you, saith the Lord. I will plead with your children's children will I plead." And by the way, you're not going to have your children's children embracing what you believe. You go this modern way, say, "Well, what if I'm old time religion?" I don't know if they'll embrace it or not. I think it's pretty hard to raise kids nowadays. Well, in my day, you couldn't even buy pornography. And then it finally came out and it was behind the counter, backwards, covered up. But now your kids, I don't believe your kids can reach adulthood without pornography. Right here. I don't think it's possible. I pastor a large ministry. I pastor pastors. I get calls, I don't know if it's every day, but almost daily, from pastors saying, "I've got a 12-year-old boy. We caught him with pornography. He started when he was 11. Most of these kids are starting about age 10. The fastest group of pornography lover are women right now today. Women's the fastest growing group. We're out of it, friends. I don't believe you can get a kid down the aisle without being influenced by pornography. I think it's almost impossible. Ghost accounts, different accounts. I don't think it's possible. I pastor a college. I pastor a high school. I pastor, well, this is California. It's liberal here. You have the same internet we have. Don't give me it's more liberal here than your place. We're all liberal. And so he says, your children's children, verse 11, "Hath a Nathan changed their gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed the glory for that which is doth not profit." You're changing in your church. There's nothing wrong with singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You say, "Well, this contemporary music grows people," but that's why you only have Sunday morning. It's one and done. I was in Colorado Springs about two years ago. I was preaching, and I saw as the pastor was driving me around, I saw Brother Jason Brockman. I saw church on Saturday night. And the next church, 5,000-10,000 people, and then the next 5,000-10,000 people was Friday night, and the next one was on Thursday night. I said, why do they have that? They said, because we're snow country. Get the God thing out of the way so that you can go for the weekend to the snow. But my Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Christ, who is our life. He's my life. The snow is not my life. The beach is not my life. The mall is not my life. The 49ers are not my life. The Sharks are not my life. The Warriors are not my life. I'm telling you, friend, we are a sports crazed society. You get a group of preachers together, next thing we're talking about is sports. And I'm all for sports. Enjoy them. But what is God doing in your ministry? What's God doing in your life? We're almost out of time. The Bible says, my people, be astonished, O heavens, at this, and horribly afraid. Horribly afraid of what? My people have changed, verse 11. We're changing. Verse number 13, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewn out cisterns, broken cisterns. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5. Verse number 4, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord God. I will get me unto the what? Great man. Look it up. Look it up in Strong's card. Great men is exactly what it means. It means older men. I'm not going to look to my peers. Amen. My brother Tom Harrison is no longer a peer. He was my roommate, 69. He is a seasoned man of God. We're the same age. Well, he's older than me, but that's obvious too. But we're the same age, but he's a seasoned man of God. I can look to him. How long have you pastored your church, Pastor? My wife is 43 years. Area, Scotts, Michigan. But I tell you what, he has produced a great ministry, a great missions church, a great soul winning church. They believe in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, soul winning, prayer. They believe in it all. I'll get me to the great men. That's why today I answer things through Curtis Hudson. What would Curtis say about this? Did I tell you about I found your dad at the swimming hole? I don't think I told you that. He was preaching here and really had cancer bad. And he said, Brother Jack, I don't think I'll go to lunch. My wife and I took him over here to 4th Street, beautiful hotel. And my wife, we got almost home about four miles away. She goes, he left his Bible. And I went back. And he didn't go to his room. He went to his room and changed into just swimming shorts, no shirt on, nothing. I saw him there. I said, what do I do? Do I tell Curtis I got your Bible? What do I do? Man, I tell you what, I wrestled with that thing. I mean, this is Dr. Curtis Hudson. And I got a little closer and I got closer. And I got real close and I'm going to give him his Bible and say, hey, here's your Bible. And it wasn't Curtis Hudson. Oh, man, can you believe that? I get me to the great men, these older men. Why? For they have known the way of the Lord. I believe these young guys might know the Lord 20 years from now, but I don't know if they will or not. But I get some, Bobby Robertson pastored 61 years. Brother Tony's dad lived to be 61, and he was a faithful man of God. Roloff lived to 68. Many of us have outlived him. Brother Howes lived to 75. I mean, these are men of God that they proved that they knew God. Their churches did not change. I preached 31 revivals Saturday through Wednesday at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina. 31 years. I'll tell you what, that church was singing the same old songs they sang 31 years before. Same old songs. Say, well, that's why you need some new songs. They were working then, and they're still working today. Well, I'm just getting going. So let's talk about preaching for 3 minutes, and we'll be on our way. So the big thing today, it has to be expository. Tony Hudson last year, two years ago, preached here and said, well, it was, it wasn't expository. He quoted 68 verses. How many verses? 68. That's expository preaching. Well, it wasn't expository. Yes, it was. But there's expository, and we all preach expository. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Secondly, there is textual preaching. Take a text and work that text. We saw it with Shamgar. We saw it last night. We saw it with Brother Brown. We saw textual preaching last night and the night before and yesterday. Number three, there's topical preaching. You ought to have some topical preaching, fellas. Good night. Topical preaching is on vision and fighting and holding the line and justification and soul winning. That's all topical preaching. And then there's subject matter preaching, like grace. You're in a series 7 weeks on grace. You're on a series on the mercy. You're on a series for 3-7 weeks on Calvary. That's all. Subject matter preaching. There is preaching. That's the Greek word kerux, K-E-R-U-X. It means to publicly herald. Jesus preached, the Bible said. He publicly stood and preached with authority. And then there's, this is the good one we get nailed on. There's stories. Well, he developed the message all off a story. That's the most type of preaching Jesus did. He called parables. They were stories. And if you can drive home with Jack Hiles was an expert on it. He could preach topical, but he was an expert on this. I was at a pastor school years ago, and he said, now, I preached in 1957 at Bob Jones. How many of you were there? 1957. This is about 1980 something, 85, 86, 87, somewhere around there. And four people said, I was there. He said, stand to your feet. Y'all have it? What did I preach? You know, all four of them said, you preach this. Here's what you preach. They remembered. You remembered his messages. I'm all for expositional preaching. But use the whole gamut. Father, I thank you for our people that are here, our guests, and I thank you for their love for thee. And I pray that, God, we would stick with old-time religion. It has worked, and it's working.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.